My name's Ben. It's a great joy to speak to you today. Easter, it's a great time of year. Work is cancelled for a few days. Lots of us are seeing loved ones this Easter. And of course, chocolate. So much chocolate. You know, Easter's one of those great occasions where you can just park your diet for a few days. You know, Wheat Bix, they can resume on Tuesday, but for a few days, chocolate. Breakfast, hot cross bun carefully sliced in two. 5 or 6 Cadbury Easter eggs just put under the griller for about 45 seconds. And then you arrive at church, and what's for morning tea? Hot cross buns and chocolate. Oh. You've made it along to church. It's great to see this room packed. We have so many people that we have a few VIPs that get my best side, my best angle. But we're not the only ones gathering right now. At this very moment, there are thousands and thousands of people across Sydney and beyond who are gathering to remember that first Easter where Jesus died. And so I want to ask you a question. Why? Why that first Easter? Why did Jesus have to die? Some of you, I know you're avid history members, you're members of the Camden Historical Society, you're always there at the meetings. Some of you have grown up religious. You've grown up going to Sunday school or scripture, going to mass or church. And some of you might have never walked in the building of a church before. Maybe you're new to the area and you got one of those postcards, or you're in the playgroup and you got invited along. Whatever your background, it's great that you're here today. And I want you to have an answer to that question. Why? Why did Jesus have to die? Today we're going to answer that question by going back to the original sources, the eyewitness account of John. That was what was just read before. John was there at the very moment that Jesus died. That's what he was writing in his account. And we're going to see two possible reasons that Jesus could have died and why John completely debunks those reasons. And then we're going to see one surprising reason why Jesus did die. So point number one, he didn't die because he was guilty. It's been an intense 24 hours for Jesus. His 12 closest friends have just abandoned him. One of them, Judas, has even betrayed him. He's surrounded by the religious leaders of the time who have plotted against him. The soldiers, they mock him. And now he's in front of Pilate, the local governor. Pilate is questioning Jesus. And finally, he reaches the conclusion, I find no guilt in him. Pilate's conclusion is that Jesus is completely innocent. And that's what's been the case all along. When Jesus came into this world, he wasn't plotting a secret uprising. He wasn't trying to overthrow Caesar and put himself as the emperor of the Roman Empire. He hasn't stolen anything. He hadn't lied. He hadn't killed anyone. Jesus was completely innocent. And that is what Pilate concludes. I find no guilt in him. 3 times that's mentioned. You've heard the saying, he had it coming. After building so many dodgy houses in Oran Park, that builder, he deserved to lose his building license. He had it coming. After choosing to park your diet for Easter, Good Friday, and chopping that hot cross bun in half and putting on those Cadbury eggs and grilling it for 45 seconds, and now you feel sick? He had it coming. Well, that could not be further from the truth for Jesus. He did not have it coming. Unlike everyone else around him, he is completely innocent. The religious leaders, they're the ones who are plotting to kill him. The soldiers, they mock him. Pilate, even though he concludes that there is no guilt in Jesus, at the end of our reading, what does he do? He hands over Jesus to be crucified after flogging him. Everyone around Jesus is guilty, except for Jesus. He is completely innocent. And so point number one, Jesus did not die because he was guilty. Which raises the question, why then? Why did he die? Was he just an innocent victim that the society led to be killed? Was he just in the wrong place at the wrong time? Well, point number two, Jesus did not die because he was helpless. Jesus, in this moment, he is in the presence of some VIPs. The religious leaders, they're the ones that all of the Jewish society look to. The soldiers, these are Roman soldiers with power and authority. They've been trained. And Pilate, he's the governor of the whole region. Jesus is in the company of some VIPs, but actually, they're not the ones in charge. The soldiers, they dress Jesus in a purple robe. That's a royal colour. And Pilate places a plaque on the cross saying, King of the Jews. And I think the reason that the soldiers and Pilate was doing that probably was to mock him. But ironically, they were absolutely right. That purple was his colour. He was the king. And that plaque was completely true. He was the king. He was from God. When he arrived, he showed that he had authority. He spoke like no one else had ever spoke. No one had taught with the authority that he taught. He knew things. In John 4 earlier, he knew about the Samaritan woman's background that no one else knew. He had done miracles that pointed to the fact that he was the king. He'd healed a blind man. He'd healed someone crippled from birth. And most of all, he'd healed Lazarus who had died. Jesus is the one with authority. He is the king. And so even though he's in the company of some VIPs, Jesus is TMIP, the most important person. Pilate doesn't get this. He thinks he's the most important person. He says to Jesus, why don't you speak to me, Jesus? Don't you know that I have the authority to release you? I have the authority to crucify you? I'm in charge here, Jesus. Why aren't you? This is the perfect moment for Jesus to suck up. Oh, please, Pilate, please, let me go. I promise that. But that's not what Jesus does. No, Jesus replies, Pilate, you would have no authority unless it had been given to you from above. Pilate, he thinks that he's Jesus' boss, but in reality, Jesus is Pilate's boss. He is not an innocent victim of society, helpless, led to his slaughter. No, he is powerful. He is deliberately silent. He is willing to go to his death. So point number one, he didn't die because he was guilty. Point number two, he didn't die because he was helpless. And this is the surprising message of Easter. Jesus didn't die because he was guilty or helpless, but because we are. That is the surprising message of Easter. It wasn't any fault in him that led him to die. It was the fault in us that led him to die. We are guilty. And at this point, you might be thinking, Ben, I can understand why the religious leaders and the soldiers and Pilate were guilty. Like, they literally led to crucify Jesus. They were crying out, crucify, crucify. And I admit, I assume many of us don't wake up each morning and say, crucify, crucify, God, I wish you were dead. But that's how we live, isn't it? We might not say it, but in our hearts, that's how we live. I don't need you, God. Jesus, you're not my king. I'm in charge of my life. I decide where I live, who I live with, how I spend my money, how I spend my time. I wish you were dead, God. I'm in charge of my life. Maybe I'll think about you once or twice a year at special occasions. Maybe I'll think about you once or twice a week. If I want, if I'm able, I'm in charge of my life. And so we are guilty before God. All of us. I am guilty before God. I am just as guilty as those religious leaders back then. I am just as guilty as the soldiers. I am just as guilty as Pilate. And we are helpless. We can't fix the problem ourselves and cleanse our record. We can try. The other day, the drain in our bathroom broke. Emily, my lovely wife, we've been married 6 months, she said, "Oh, Ben, you know, the drain's a bit clogged." Classic overconfident young man. "I can fix it. Yeah. There I do, unscrewing, clearing out the hair." Girls have a lot of hair. Screwing it back in, voila. Put on the tap, drip, 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 drip. Oh no. I ruined the seal. We are guilty before God. And when we try to fix it ourselves, we mess it up. Our DIY solutions to get right before God, they're not going to cut it. We are guilty and we are helpless. And that is why Jesus died. That is the surprising message of Easter. Not because he was guilty or helpless, but because we are. A great swap, the innocent for the guilty. I remember the day that this became personal for me. I grew up in a Christian family. I went along to church, Sunday school. I could say the right answers. I was pretty good, I thought. It was in high school when it finally clicked that actually I wasn't good. I didn't have life sorted. I wasn't giving God the honor he deserves. Even when I said the right answers in kids' church, so easy that could be about me. And what an incredible day it was in high school. I think it was about the end of year 9 when I realized it's not about me being right before God. I'm guilty, and that is why God entered into our world in the person of Jesus and willingly was silent, willingly was led to his slaughter. That's why I'm a Christian today, because it finally became personal for me. Wow, that is what God did for me. Not while I was great and powerful, but while I was weak, while I was a sinner. That's why we're a church here, because Jesus has swapped places with us. That's why we put postcards in letterboxes. That's why we run something called Hope Explore that's going to be in the next few weeks. You may have heard lots about church. What's church for? They do lots of things. But the center of why church exists is because Jesus has died for us. We are guilty. He is innocent. We are helpless. He is powerful. And yet he died in our place. And I wonder if there's some of you here today that this has not yet become personal for you. That you have not been treating Jesus as your king. Maybe you've been thinking, I'm good enough. I can do it myself. Maybe you've been at church for a very, very long time. Or maybe this is your first week. How do you make it personal? There's no fancy formula. There's no magic words. There's no blessing that Ezariah could. No, it's actually about you and God. But in short, it's about saying three things. Firstly, sorry. Secondly, thank you. And thirdly, please. I've written up on the screen a simple prayer, some words to God. This is not magic formulaic words. But it's a type of thing that you say to God when you want this to be personal, when you want this to be real. Notice, underline, sorry, thank you, please. How do you make this personal? It begins with saying something like, "Dear God, sorry that I have lived as if you weren't real. I admit that I am completely guilty and helpless before you." Until we realize we've got a problem, we're never going to realize why Jesus died. We need to admit that we are not right, that we are guilty and helpless. Life doesn't finish with a happy retirement at Durham Green. The sad reality is that life finishes with death, and some of us feel that really personally. And that's why the second point is so beautiful. Thank you that Jesus willingly died in my place. Oh. We contribute nothing. We are guilty and helpless. And God contributes everything. It's only through Jesus that we can be right before God. That's why he was willing that first Easter to die. But if we think, oh yeah, that's nice, and then go on living as if nothing's changed, we haven't quite grasped who Jesus is. He is the King. That purple royal robe is rightfully his. That plaque king is his. And so the final point, please, is how do we now treat him rightly? It's please change me so that I may live with Jesus as my king. Our whole perspective on life changes. You know, in year 9, when it became real for me, things didn't change right away. I still was living in ways that weren't honouring to my king. It's a slow, gradual process. But that fundamental perspective that I'm not in charge of my life, but that Jesus is, and he's not a mean tyrant. No, he willingly laid down his life for me. What a joy to live for him as my king. I'm going to say these words to God now. And if maybe you've realized that today is the day that you need to make this personal, come right before God. Why don't you say this in your mind as I read out this prayer to God? Dear God, sorry that I have lived as if you weren't real. I admit that I am completely guilty and helpless before you. Thank you that Jesus willingly died for me in my place. Please change me so that I may live with Jesus as my King. Amen. If you just pray this prayer, I would love to chat to you after church. It is wonderful to come before God and be right with Jesus.